why don't kick back and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beefs,
spazzles,
to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host, and as always, I hope you guys are having a wonderful, wonderful week so far. So today, we are not going to get into all of our preliminaries, except for the Urban Dictionary Word of the Week, because I have a very, very special guest by the name of Samuel Pierre, who will be sharing the mic with me and engaging in meaningful discussion. So I wanted to make sure that I reserved enough time for that. So without further ado, let's get into the Urban Dictionary Word or Phrase of the Week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Hop into a fleek, you lit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary Word or Phrase of the Week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary Word of the Week is sauceless. And the definition goes, people who are not ballers, i.e. lame. Example, we are definitely not sauceless tonight. We are going to get keyed. Okay, I'm not really sure what keyed is, so I guess that will be next week's Urban Dictionary Word of the Week. But I thought this Urban Dictionary word was appropriate for what we are going to be talking about later on tonight. So definitely keep it locked and stay tuned. All right, everyone, I'm here with my very special guest, Samuel Pierre. Samuel, say hello.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
So tell us a little bit about who you are. What do you do?
So hi, everybody. I'm Sam Pierre.
First of all, where are you coming with this voice?
This is my radio voice.
What is that?
This is my radio voice. Hey, everybody. Sam Pierre on the radio.
On the ones and twos.
Fun fact, I say John's. I did St. John's Radio.
Did
SJ
you?
Radio, yeah.
I feel like I should have known that. I probably did know that.
Yeah, you did.
But I don't think you many did. People were listening to SJ
Radio. Radio just sucked. It sucked. Thanks, cuz. Appreciate it.
Thanks for pointing that out.
It was the demographics, right? Mm. Were very different.
Yeah, because I used to write for The Torch.
Oh, look, I didn't know that.
And so, yeah, but people read The Torch, though.
What demographic read The Torch?
Actually, you know, because I wrote a lot about controversial issues. So people actually, like, I actually wrote an article about Father Harrington. That first,
oh, yeah,
that was
I remember
me.
That article.
And then I also wrote another article about College Professional Studies versus St. John's College.
I don't know why I remember that.
Because
I remember people were giving me crap about it. Yeah, I think people was giving me crap
it
about
it. It was some, like, racist issue or whatever that was going on, and so I called out Father Harrington.
That's
because,
crazy. Shout out to Father Harrington.
And that's how my career at The Torch took off, and then it died when I left St. John's.
One of my girls was the editor. One of my homegirls was the editor of The Torch. When I did my little brief stunt as a VP of College Republicans, she used to write some stuff for me.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, the good old SJU days.
I was just like, why are you head of the College Republicans?
Yeah. You remember that? Oh, well, hey, we need to get resources. We got a lot of resources.
Yeah,
over.
I bet you
yeah,
did. I bet you did. Having a black face to the College Republicans.
And you know what's funny? I know a lot of people would be upset about what I'm about to say, but they did so much for me. At St. John's, because they never had a black person on the College Republicans.
No, I know.
So they did so much. They went out of their way. They was finding scholarship money for me. They was doing all this stuff for me. It was crazy.
So fun fact, everybody. Sam is my cousin, Sam Pierre Rita Pierre. Ha. But we actually, he keeps following me on my educational journeys. Yes. I went to St. John's, he went to St. John's. I went to Columbia, he went to Columbia. But no, good times. Yep. We never actually get to sit down and reminisce about St. John's
true.
Days.
That's true. So yeah, Sam Pierre, who is he? In some circles, they call me Senator Pierre. Some circles, they call me a power broker. Some circles, they call me eternal optimist. Some circles, they say problem solver. Some circles.
How many circles are we talking about here?
It's a lot of different circles. But no, that's it. So St. Pierre, you know, I was on a panel and someone asked me, and I was like, I broker deals for the world. Someone said that and I stole it. I was like, oh, I want that. That's what I do. I broker deals for the world because it's like one person's looking for something, the other person is looking for something, and I know this person can help you get it. And then I try to make the connection and try to get paid for doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Cut myself into the deal. Cut myself into the deal, right? And make sure the deal lives, because a lot of deals die. Time kills all deals. How to like cut myself into that deal. So that's St. Pierre. Like you said, St. John's undergrad. Shout out to SJU. We are in the final. We're in the March Madness, which
is
big.
It's about time, man.
Haven't gone since 2000.
Well, when I started St. John's in 2002, they were still doing well in terms of basketball, and then the scandal happened.
Yep.
Freshman year, the scandal with freshmen.
Yeah.
Who I knew very well, and I was like, really, is this what we're doing with our lives? Exactly. But then we found out that the allegations were false, but still.
Right, it was bad.
But that was like the beginning of the end.
Yeah, that was. Because it was, remember, 2000, 2001, we were like a really big deal. So for us to go this year is a big deal. We're actually playing right now as we speak.
But
yeah, it's a really big deal for us. The marketing across the buses and the trains is about to go crazy. If we win tonight, you're going to see a lot of ads all over New York City.
Okay.
So that's good. So yeah, St. John's undergrad, Columbia, like you said, EMPA, and, you know, consulting, nonprofit, trying to save the world, a partner in the Gentleman's Factory, where we both are.
even though I'm not a gentleman, but I am still a part of the Gentleman's Factory. I was there.
Just trying to build wealth for our community, one contract at a time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Speaking of wealth, since you brought that up. So today I wanted to bring you on the show to talk about the recent college admission scandal that's, I don't know, all over everyone's social media. Mm-hmm. Mainly because, you know, I went to an Ivy, you went to an Ivy. You can have, our perspective mm-hmm. on the topic, mm-hmm. maybe a little different from others. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Because I guess if you went to, like, I don't know, a community college, you might not necessarily.
Yeah, you gotta be shady, yo. No, shout out to the people at the community colleges.
Nobody's being shady, but what I'm saying is that they might not, like, if somebody says college admission scandal at Kingsborough Community College.
Oh my God, now she mentions a name.
What I'm saying is that nobody
Jeff
is going
to. Jeff went to Kingsborough, by the way.
Nothing is wrong with that, but no, but you're never going to see.
He got an F at Kingsborough, but he went there.
First of all, you're putting his business out there.
Jeff says it. I can say it. Jeff talks about it.
Well, I would prefer Jeff to say it and not you to say it. I don't know if Jeff wants you to say it on radio. But what I'm saying
Shout
is
out to
it's
Jeff
no
Lindo.
Shade to anybody who went to the schools. What I'm trying to say is that when if somebody were to talk about big college admission scandal at Kingsborough, I don't think it wouldn't necessarily be like top news anywhere. People wouldn't necessarily be like, oh my gosh, we have no faith in the process.
Right.
What about, you know, what about our children? What about affirmative? Like these topics would not, these discussions wouldn't happen if
True.
Somebody said that.
True.
But it's not to say I know many people who actually started off at community college and then ended up at Ivy Leagues because that was just the best thing
absolutely.
For them.
Yeah.
So it's no shade, Sam, Mr. Controversy. I'm just saying the discussion would be very, very different. In fact, there might not even be a discussion.
No, there isn't a discussion.
So I wanted to get your take on the college admission scandal because I know when I first first of all, before I even read the article, I kept seeing these memes. Like my friends kept photoshopping their picture over like I think it was our friend Yave. Shout out to Yave. He had photoshopped his picture over like a rowing.
Oh
team.
Yeah. I did see that.
I'm like, what's
what
that
is
about?
That?
And
yeah.
then the next day, my friend photoshopped her picture over Serena Williams' body as a tennis player.
Yeah, I did see Yave.
Like, look, mom, I made it. And I'm like, what is all of this? So it's not until like I kept looking at the hashtags and I saw like an article like from CNN. I'm like, And then somebody sent me a DM like, Aunt Becky is about to go to jail. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? And that's when I found out that apparently Becky from Fuller House and Full House and Felicity Huffman from Desperate Housewives are like, those are like the two main celebrities at the forefront of this like federal investigation scandal. Mm-hmm. But that they were involved in this like ring, this bribery ring, to get their kids into colleges. And so this has been like an explosion on my social media, talking about wealth, class, race. And so I kind of wanted to get your perspective as somebody who's attended one of these finer institutions. Like, what's your perspective on all of this? I mean, we have all this discussion about affirmative action. And, you know, white people now being able to pay for their children to go into school. People are wondering, what's the difference between the two? Is there a difference? The black community is just like, this is what we're talking about. You know, white privilege. So what's your take on all this?
Well, first of all, let me give my disclaimers. My take that I have on this radio station is none that represents any of the organizations that I'm a part of, any of the education institutions that I currently teach at, any of the boards that I'm on.
Maybe I should say the same thing. Guys, this is a Rita Pierre situation. Rita Pierre opinion.
None of the corporations boards that I sit on. None of the, what else, right? None of the none of the partnerships that I currently have in play right now. My views are not an expression of any of the companies or organizations that I am a part of. Just want to be very clear for the record.
You're very clear.
That this is my personal opinion and my personal views. So just wanted to set the record straight there.
I think you said it straight.
You know, because when you're a professor, you have to, I don't mind my students.
And to be clear, St. Francis is not.
And she says the school. Look at that. I'm trying to. And she throws that out there.
You think nobody's going to Google and see where you teach?
I know.
But just to be clear, they are not part of any scandal. St. John's is not part of any scandal.
Right.
We're safe.
Right. So just wanted to express that because I didn't want any of my students coming to me and say, hey, you know, I was listening to your podcast, Professor Pierre. Anyway, I think that this is. I think when things come to the media, it's believe it or not, that's actually the last place. So stuff has already had, conversations have happened, investigations have been going on, and then the media is usually, believe it or not, the last people to find out and to talk about something. So first things first. This is not the first time this has been going on. And if they're doing an investigation, whether it's the Department of Justice or whichever government agency, this is the last step because they had to do 3 years of investigation. Mm-hmm. So investigations, especially in the federal level, they don't happen overnight, right? So this is like the complaint. I didn't read it, but it's probably a five-year complaint.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I guess because of the way it's going like wildfire on social media, people think that this like happened last
night. Like yesterday, no.
Because I was reading a couple of the articles and they were saying, you know, they don't know whether or not they're going to take action against students who've already graduated.
That's what I'm saying.
We're talking about four or five years.
Of investigation. So we're late to the party. By the time the media gets it, and the only reason, I want to be clear, the only reason we even know about it is because there's celebrities involved. If there was no celebrities involved, we wouldn't even know about this. It would have just happened. They would have just gone to court. Maybe one or two local papers would have talked about it. But because anytime a celebrity is involved, they actually have a classification in the federal government where the case is technically considered a media case. And once it's a media case, that's when, you know, the pressure is on to everyone. Not that this is a legal, you know, topic here, but now the pressure is on the United States Attorney's Office. The pressure is on to the judge. The pressure is on because now you have the public involved in this case, in this trial. So I just wanted to set the tone there. Personally, I think that I think it makes sense, right? We need to look at it from a dollars and cents perspective, right? Let's say St. Pierre and wife is earning $20 million a year.
Okay.
Annually. We take home $20 million a year. And somebody says to me that if you pay me $200,000, that is less than 1%. Or that's 1% of my income.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making $2 million a year. And someone says for 1% of my income, they can get my child into a school. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's think about it.
Okay.
Who's going to say, no, I don't want my child to go into that school. And I'm not going to pay less than 1% to get my child into the school. Less than 1% of my income.
So you're thinking about this just from the lens of the parent or guardian.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. You're not thinking about... So what you're saying is that nobody's really going through a deeper analysis about
Absolutely
what that
not.
Entails. If you say, I can get your child into Harvard for, you know, 1% of my yearly income, you're not asking any more questions. And you're saying that the average person would probably
that's
not
it.
Ask questions
that's
either.
That's like a summer camp. And they said the list is closed. But if you give me $5,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it real. There's a waiting list to get my kid into this most prestigious summer camp. But if you give me $5,000, I know someone I went to school with, their sister's brother, da da da, that can get your kid into the summer camp. No, no, no. It's unfair. No. I'm not going to give you $5,000 to get my kid into this summer camp because it's not the right thing to do.
So I hear what you're saying there. If it was just that, but, you know, reading some of the reports on how some of the parents actually, you know, engaged in this bribery scheme, some of them, and I believe it's, I can't remember, Lori Law, I don't know if it's Lachlan, Lawlin, whatever, Aunt Becky mm-hmm. from Fuller House or Full House,
mm-hmm.
her and her husband paid about $500,000 to get two of their children into USC, University of Southern
right.
California, but they... We're trying, I guess, the way that they tried to get them in was through the crew team.
Sure.
So they actually then, it wasn't just here, let me give you the money. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I'm not involved in anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking any questions. Let me send you pictures of my children on a rowing machine
yeah.
to now, you know,
to get the
effect to show that, well, they're actually rowers.
Right.
And so they're athletes.
Right.
And so now not only are you paying the money, but you're now involved in like falsification of
absolutely.
Records.
No, absolutely.
So it's more than just,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have the money. Let me give you the money to get you ahead on the list. I don't think that people are looking down too much
on that.
Like that. Like, especially like if I had $500,000 and somebody said, give me $5,000 to skip put your kid at the top of the list.
Right.
I don't think people see the crime in that.
Right.
But I think it's the extra steps, like
right.
the paying somebody to take the SATs.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, look, I think it all depends on your value, right? I think it's your value and your perspective. What do you value and what are you willing to do for that value, right? And it's people's moral compass, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is your moral compass? I think everyone who's reading this needs to realize that when you're at a level, you don't think about how your certain actions are affecting others. Because if the rich thought about that, then maybe they would all be Bill Gates, who's giving away all his money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is Jeff Bezos not saying the same thing as Bill Gates? Like, oh, I have $129 billion. Let me give away, you know, 20 of it, right? Let's say Jeff Bezos said, you know what? I have $129 billion. I don't know what the number is, but let's say it's $129 billion. If Jeff Bezos says, I'm going to give $20 billion, right, to our healthcare system so that everybody can have healthcare, do you know that everybody would have healthcare? What if Jeff Bezos says, I'm going to give $20 billion so that everybody and their mama that want to go to school could go to school? Then everybody would go to school. But Jeff Bezos isn't doing that. You see what I'm saying? So there's, and I'm not saying Jeff Bezos is a bad guy. I don't know the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is people have different moral compasses. And when they have different moral compasses, some people are willing to do whatever it takes.
But do you think that's, so my thing is, okay, the rich are at a different, I guess, level. I mean,
of course.
it's We can't dispute that. But are you saying that they don't, there's not an essential like universal right or wrong?
It's not that I don't think there's a universal right or wrong. I just think it's a perspective, right? There's rich people who believe that they need to be rich so that they can hire people so these people can have jobs. Mm-hmm. So if they're not rich tomorrow, then these people will not have jobs. So we need to make sure they stay rich. And that's, they believe that. I had a meeting with a company, a conference call with a company that said, if we don't continue making money and stay rich, all these people are not going to have jobs. So Sam, you need to help make sure we stay rich. And he was dead serious. Like, he was serious. Like, no, like, he was serious. Like, you don't understand, Sam. This company can't go down. We need to stay at this level because think about all the people we hire. What are we going to do for all these people? Try to convince me that it was about the people working. Let's not discuss the income difference between him mm-hmm. and the people that are working for him. But he literally, and I believe in my heart, that he believed mm-hmm. that if we don't help and talk to legislators so that the laws didn't affect him, he would be in trouble. And if his company is in trouble, if the revenues are affected, there's going to be the people on the bottom are really going to be hurt. And he believed that in his heart. I think he almost shed a tear trying to express that to me. So, like, there's a, in his mind, he has to stay rich. His kids have to go to boarding school. His wife has to wear furs. Like, he's helping people. He believes that in his mind.
So where did the sense of entitlement come in then? Because for me, I hear what you're saying that, you know, they truly believe this is a perspective. But I truly believe that they're just like, listen, I'm rich and I could do whatever the hell I want. I don't care like if it's good, if it's bad, as long as my family is good, my kids are good. I don't care if I'm taking a seat away from a more deserving child than my child. I have the money. He's going to go wherever I want him to go.
But this is where it gets a little gray. Right? Because who is running these admissions committees? Mm-hmm. What is the demographic that are?
I mean, I think they're white people. Oh. And I believe that for the most part, they're probably affluent white people.
There you go. Right? So when you talk about where does this sense of entitlement come from, if I'm on the admissions committee, and Rita Pierre is Oprah, right? Mm-hmm. And I want something from Rita Pierre. And I know Rita Pierre has two children. What do you think I'm going to use to get Rita Pierre's attention? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, hey, Rita Pierre, you know I'm on the admissions committee. And I know your son is about to go to college. Right?
I mean, I hear what you're saying.
Like, let's not pretend like these things don't happen. People are just like, look, I want Oprah's attention. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get her attention.
I'm not saying that these things don't happen, but I'm just trying to, I guess what I'm trying to understand is at what point is it, listen, you're being like, these actions are either malicious or just wanton disregard.
Right.
Or it's, well, you know, this is the white person perspective. This is the rich person perspective.
But I don't even look at it. I think it's a class perspective because same thing, right? If I go to the park right now and a pickup game, and I got five, it's about basketball team, right? And I got five of my friends, and there's this little white boy who has the same privilege. It's the park is for him. He could play. Am I picking him on my basketball team?
You're not, but I feel like that's a little bit of an extreme example.
No,
at this point.
Understand what I mean by that example.
No, I hear what you're saying from
he
the
could
example.
Be in the park from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. And the rules of the park is, if you win, you keep playing. Is it fair that Tommy is never going to get picked?
But why is his name got
to
be Tommy?
But is it fair? No, is it fair? Because the park don't belong to us. It's a public park. Is it fair that Tommy will never get on a team? Will never get picked up unless someone gets injured or hurt? And then watch this. When Tommy's on the team, he's never getting the ball. He's a body. I'm just trying to give a perspective.
But isn't that what people are saying when it comes to affirmative action then?
Listen, I believe that affirmative action is very good.
Okay.
I believe that it's very, very good. I believe that people should have opportunities. So in this, my same example, right? Someone needs to come and say, hey, Sam, you can pick three black guys to be on your basketball team, but you have to pick Tommy too.
Okay.
Because it's only fair. He's been in the basketball. And there has been cases where people have been on the basketball court and be like, yo, nah, he's been here for a long time, you guys. Let him play one or two games. Come on. Right? If Tommy, now, does Tommy feel unequal that someone had to say, oh, come on, man, he's been sitting here for, you know what I'm saying?
He might.
Right. But.
Or he might not.
Or he might not. And the question is, does Tommy want to play or does he not want to play? Which is his priority? Is his priority playing the game or is his priority getting chosen to be on a team? And that's what I mean by you got to break it down like that. Because if Tommy's priority is to just play in the game, whether somebody got injured and he's in, whether someone said, all right, come on, guys, we can't do this, he's in the game. So if that was his goal to get in the game, he's in the game. If his goal was to be liked by people, then Tommy doesn't need to be there. Tommy doesn't need to be there. Maybe Tommy needs to go somewhere where he will be accepted and liked.
Like where?
Like HBCU. Because so, there's no problems there. So maybe Tommy should be, maybe he should reevaluate if he's feeling some, if he doesn't feel accepted or people don't like him, maybe he doesn't need to be there.
So are you saying that? Because I want to get into the affirmative action discussion because that is come back up as a main topic in light of this college admission situation. Because for the longest time, students of color, you know, were told that, listen, you're taking, you know, if it was discovered that they got in on affirmative action, which I'm not even sure how one would really know.
Yeah.
But I guess the assumption is in the minds of non-black people, if you're in a, I mean, that actually happened to me once. I was at Fordham. And Fordham, I mean, it's diverse enough when mm-hmm. it comes to the law school. But I did have a kid ask, you know, how did you get here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you mean? How did I get here? Like, I didn't even understand the question. But I guess the thing is that for the longest time, students of color were made to feel that they were taking seats away from, deserving white kids.
Mm-hmm.
But for affirmative action, you know, you wouldn't be here and somebody who deserved to be there, i.e. a white person, mm-hmm. you know, would have had that seat.
Mm-hmm.
And so now with this college admission scandal, where it's now known that white, it's being broadcasted, mm-hmm. right? That white people are bribing people
mm-hmm.
to get their students into these schools. But I guess to your point earlier, this is something that's always been happening, I guess. Like
it's been
this type
happening
of
all the time. Like it's been happening all the time. And I don't like the word bribery.
Well, the right? bribery is what is what's being used. Like that is the word. That is the term that
because the reason I don't like the word bribery is because so if my cousin Rita Pierre is on the admissions committee and I say to her, hey cuz, I know you really want to meet Oprah Winfrey, right? And I'm going to do the introduction if you get my son. Is that a bribe?
I mean, we'd have to look to see what is the right.
what
definition.
Is the exchange? What was the exchange?
Of a bribe.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something that would creep to level of shady.
It's leveraging your influence.
So you're saying that that type of exchange is okay?
I'm not saying that it's okay. I'm just saying how many times have we done it as a people? How many times have I gotten to the club and gave the doorman $20 and I'm in while everybody else is standing outside in the 3 degrees weather? Did I say, oh no, I don't want to go into the club. I want to stand outside like everybody else. Or if I went to college with the bouncer and I put $10 in his pocket, I'm inside. How come I didn't say no? I don't, that's not the right thing to do.
So you see these as all being the same thing?
Hey, I'm a Christian and no sin weighs more than others. A sin is a sin is a sin. That's how they taught me. Sin is a sin is a sin. So whether you put $10 in the bouncer's hand or you pay $200,000 to get your kid into, SCU.
So why
is God going to be like, oh, well, no, that sin is like 20 points. That sin is 80 points.
So why do you think people are so up in arms about it? I mean, I understand the celebrity aspect. Anything with celebrities, people are like all over it. But people, I mean, I would probably say, especially in the Black community, people are really, really upset about it. And for me, I think it's because, again, for the longest time, people would question, you know, our existence in these prominent schools as affirmative action.
I have a different view on this.
No, what's your view?
I like to...
Aside from all Black people should go to HBCUs.
Shout out to HBCUs. No. But I feel like when you've dealt with controversy and the press, you have a different perspective of the press. Why is it so important to tell all these Black people about this story? What is the underlining mission behind telling this story? Did anybody wonder... Did anybody ask who the publications are that are pushing this so bad? What is the underlining argument here? I like to look at that. I like to peel the onion.
So you feel like there's like some sort of a greater agenda?
Absolutely. Because why are we making sure? We're not making sure that Black people know that there was a bill that just passed where immigrants can possibly now get permanent residency in the U.S., right? So all the people who have TPS... If this bill passes, they can now apply for permanent residency. No, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about the fact that they, there's a prison reform bill that was written by Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, where there's $30 million worth of grant funding for African Americans entrepreneurs who want to come and help people in the reentry program. I don't hear people talking about that. We're not talking about the millions of dollars that's being invested in New York for tech and STEM, not to be Malcolm X out here, but I don't hear a lot of talk about that. I hear, you need to be mad, Black man. Be mad that someone is taking your seat in this school. Why? Why should I be that mad? Why should I be that mad? Right? Why? Why should I be mad about that? Right? Why don't I try to figure out ways to keep my family alive and to keep things going?
So you don't think that there's a legitimate anger based on the affirmative action argument? Because I think that's what a lot of people are bringing up. They're just like, you know, the opponents of affirmative action have been very like, you know, gung-ho about there needs to be equality, there needs to be a leveled playing field,
right,
and that there shouldn't be this distinction or designation that if you're Black or if you're Latino, that should give you some extra points as opposed to, you know, a white person.
I think they're two different conversations.
So you don't see them as one and the same?
No, I think it's two different conversations. I think the conversation one is, why am I going to the school in the first place, right? Why did I go to Columbia? I went to Columbia so I can get a competitive edge, right? So I can get educated and learn information that's going to help me succeed in life.
Okay.
That's why I went to Columbia, right? I wanted a competitive edge. That's why I'm applying to go to Columbia. So the very application that I'm applying for is for this exact thing. I want to be better than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I would have went to one of those community schools, right? No, let's be honest.
But no, so you could get on me about my
car. I'm just saying, right? Why? Why do people want to drive a Bentley, right?
No, I get it.
Because I want to be better than everyone else. I want to experience luxuries that everyone else is not experiencing.
Okay.
So the mere filling out this application is a message to the rest of the world that I plan to be better than everyone else.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two. Why do I feel the need to have to go to Columbia, right, to feel better than everybody else? Because I need to be affirmed, right, by society, by this brand. That's why. Oh, Sam, where'd you go to school? Oh, I went to Columbia, right? That is why people go there, for that line right there.
Well, so I actually went there because they had a good bioethics program.
Says
but
who?
Whatever.
Says who?
There was only two in New York City.
No, but
City.
Says who? Who said that the bioethics program was good?
There was only two.
No, but who said it? USA Ratings or whatever?
No, a professor of mine actually at Fordham, but whatever.
But who told him? Who told him that?
I don't know.
He read it from the whatever ratings company, right? That me and you could own. Hey, Rita, let's own a ratings company and let's rate all the universities based on what we think. And then let's make people say, oh my God, I looked online and the ratings, the Pierre ratings said that Columbia is number one. Ooh, let's go there. So you don't think Columbia University is funding the Pierre rating? Oh, it's an independent research group. Really?
But how does all of this play into the affirmative action issue?
This is how it plays into the affirmative action issue. There's federal funding that taxpayer dollars are paying mm-hmm. for these schools to exist. Columbia University, Harvard, Yale, they all get federal funding. Once you get federal funding, that means you're taking taxpayer dollars. Mm-hmm. If you're taking taxpayer dollars, that means you have to do stuff for the taxpayers, mm-hmm. right? So the right thing to do is to say, all right, we got $30 billion in funding or whatever, or $30 million in funding. Then from people that we don't know, we don't see, let's try to give them access to the things that we're trying to do. So the affirmative action argument really was that, hey, there's a group of people after getting this training or after having this brand, they're doing very well in the world. So if I go to Harvard, I graduate from Harvard, and all the people who are running industry, titans of industry, went to Harvard, then I can get in. Barrier of entry is no longer exists because of the brand that I have. Mm-hmm. So, ooh, I want to get this brand. Well, what are the type of people who have access to this brand? Oh, only these people. Okay. So after doing a study, right, with the wealth gap, if all these people who have this brand are doing well and all these people who don't have that brand are not doing well, how do we get more of these people who are not doing well to get this brand so that they can start doing well as well? Mm-hmm. That's the whole idea behind affirmative action. That's the whole idea behind affirmative action. So I want to give more people this brand so that hopefully they can do well. So, and I think that's cool. I think that's dope. What I'm trying to say, I think it's deeper than that, because how did this brand get here? Mm-hmm. Was this brand designed for me? So now I'm in a place where it wasn't made for me. They didn't create this place for me. And now I'm here, right? Mm-hmm. And now I feel away. I feel away because I'm black and the people who built this place, the architects, the construction workers, everybody, none of them built this place for me. And now I'm here talking about I fell away because I don't feel comfortable, X, Y, and Z. Black man, they didn't build it for you. They built it for somebody else. If you don't like it, there's a place that they did build for you. You can go there.
Well, I don't know.
That brand is not as strong.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think a lot of people are thinking, I guess, as like maybe critically. When it comes to situations like that, if I'm applying to school and it's like, okay, I really want to get into NYU or whatever mm-hmm. the case is, right? And I applied to NYU and I had, you know, I had the grades. Maybe mm-hmm. my SAT scores weren't the best, but there's studies showing why that's probably, you know, it mm-hmm. is what it is. You know, I have a good background. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm part of the chess team. I'm part of whatever, whatever. Like, I want to go to NYU. It might not just be because of the brand, because I might not be thinking at that point that it's about the brand. I'm thinking they have a great, Bachelor of Arts program or whatever.
You read an article.
Whatever NYU is good for,
yeah, you read
an
article in the New York Times that said, oh my God, NYU is great for this program.
So based on that, that's why I want to go.
Yeah,
but then for me as a student who's applying, I feel like, I mean, maybe I'm just trying to think about me when I was applying to school. Mm-hmm. Even, I never liked the idea of affirmative action for me because mm-hmm. I wanted to know that I got into a school solely on merit, not right. because of the color of my skin, not right. because I'm a woman or my hair is kinky, whatever, you know, all these different real criterias were back in the day.
Right.
But I feel like now that I understand the system, though, a little right. bit better, I see why it's important because so many of us, and I don't know if I can't say, I mean, I went to St. John's, so I don't know if St. John's had an affirmative action program, but I feel like so many of us, people of color, would have difficulty getting into school or would not have been selected
right.
had it not been for programs actions. Of the affirmative action,
absolutely.
I guess, persuasion.
And what I'm saying is I think our community needs to look at it from a different lens, right? It's not about the fact that I want to be here on my own merit, right? Let's look at it from this perspective. You paid for this building to be built here. Mm-hmm. Your taxpayers paid for this building, yet you're not allowed in. Is that fair?
Well, what is, but that's the thing. But that is the question. Is it fair? And that's why people are like, well, look at what's going on now with this admission scandal. Absolutely. And look at this, you know, look at these people who are attacking affirmative action. This is exactly what we've been talking about. The wealth of the country Absolutely. Is controlling everything. Meanwhile, they're coming at us who actually do deserve to be at these institutions because our grades are good and our backgrounds are decent or whatever the case is, but for maybe an SAT or ACT score.
Right.
But they're attacking this program that's really meant to like level the playing field because right. studies have shown again that the playing field is not leveled.
Well,
but what the solution can't be, well, I guess I'm going to go to an HBCU.
No. I'll be facetious.
No, I mean, I understand. But I think
people should consider that.
Are going to think about
but
that.
But also, right? And I don't have the data to back up what I'm about to say, but I'm willing to guess that the people who are attacking the affirmative action programs are not the wealthy.
I mean, you could be right at that.
I'm willing to guess it's the middle class. Because if I'm wealthy, I don't care. You think I care about, you think people in Columbia care that I was there, that really wealthy kids, you think they cared I was there? They don't care. They know that we're not on the same level. Mm-hmm. They know that. They don't care. They're happy. All right, you made it. Cool. You're here. They have an agenda. And people don't understand. Wealthy people have an agenda. Like, they don't care. Mm-hmm. Right? It's the guy, the middle class guy, who is upset that I got in and he didn't. Mm-hmm. Right? And if you look at it from a perspective of, y'all literally built the school off the backs of my ancestors. Right? I don't give a damn if you think that you deserve to be here. Try again next year. I'm here. Period. I don't care what your thoughts is. And if we're mission-based, how do I have time? How do I have time to sit around and say, oh my God, I'm here at this Ivy League school. Oh, everyone doesn't love me. Oh, I want to feel more loved. How do I have time for that? Granted, I'm a privileged black man. I get it. But if you're mission-based, you're here for a goal. You're here for a reason. Of course, I don't want to be, you know, ridiculed and called the N-word everywhere I go. And nobody wants to feel uncomfortable. People want to make friends. I get that. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, like, we need to embrace this idea of affirmative action, mm-hmm. right? And understand where it came from and be comfortable, right? If anybody thought that, if anybody looked at me at Columbia and was like, oh, he's here for affirmative action, I'm happy. Good. And my response would be, finally... Finally, y'all doing the right thing mm-hmm. versus, oh my God, I don't want people to think. Why do I care what these people think? Why am I putting so much value in caring what these people think why I'm here when I have a mission to accomplish? So that's why I said from the beginning, my perspective is completely different mm-hmm. because if I have a child, I'm going to want them to go to these schools, mm-hmm. right? And or... I might say, forget these schools, right? I want my children to go to schools that my family and friends are running. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, I feel like the conversation is very different. I think we need to really think as a community and ask ourselves the questions, right? And every time you ask the why question, it gets deeper. Why do I want to go to the school? Why do I need to go to this school? Mm-hmm. Why is this important? Whose affirmation do I need? Are the people that I'm trying to help the people who I want to be affirmed by? Are these universities and schools hiring my people? Mm-hmm. Am I leveraging it so I can get to a place so I can help my people? Because that's the argument, right? Mm-hmm. You go to this school so that you can get a good job, so that you can help your people get their X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. That's all great. But how many of my people are really being helped by this? Granted, they are being helped by the salary that I might get working at a top law firm, right? But if you talk to most of the people in the law firms, they have diversity issues when they get there too. It's not like you graduate from this university, you made it, you have this brand, and then boom, you're into a world where there's no diversity issues. You find yourself bumping into this diversity door everywhere you go. Top law firms, top hospital administrations, right? Corporations. We're constantly hitting this diversity door. Just when you thought, okay, you got into Harvard undergrad, you got into Harvard law, you have all this brand, you're amazing, you're in this law firm, you thinking, I went to Harvard X, Y, and Z, and now you dealing with some guy who got C's, drank beer his whole life, and he's looking at you like, what you doing here? After all that work you just did. Then finally it comes time to pick a partner. You have all education, all the grades. That same guy that was drinking beers that had the C's, he's the one that becomes partner. Mm-hmm. Now you're dealing with this diversity issue over and over again. So for me, I would prefer for my sanity to have my own mission, right? The only reason, but I feel like if you're focusing on a mission, then you don't, it's like, okay, you know, whatever.
So you're saying this college admissions scam, scandal, or whatever the case is, okay, it's out here, it's in the news, but it's one, it's nothing, it's not new.
No.
Not this being new, but just the process of people of wealth leveraging their wealth to get their kids or themselves whatever they want. That's not a new process. And so, two, you're saying that it's possibly, a distraction tactic.
Of course.
For other important issues that you just mentioned. Absolutely. That nobody probably knows about because we're all concerned about Felicity Huffman.
A college admission scandal, right? Where you have...
That was probably happening.
That been happening for like the past 10 years. You know, like even charter schools, right? You don't think that there's parents who are donating thousands of dollars to charter school and all of a sudden their kids got accepted to this in this lottery system? Mm-hmm. Nobody's mad at that, right? Nobody minds. Oh, my kid got... my kids got chosen in this charter school. Oh, yeah. Well, look at the financials. Who's the number one donor? Mm-hmm. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that, huh?
I did read somewhere where somebody made a comment. I think it was in a recent CNN article that the whole system is rigged. So it's like, why are we... Like, why put any energy on it? Because the system is rigged.
But I don't like the system is rigged. I'm not one of those people who like to say the system is rigged. I'm one of those people who like to say who's running the system. Because if I'm in the system, then if the system works for me, it's not rigged. It's only rigged if it doesn't work for me. If the system works for me, how could the system be rigged? Think about that. If black people thought about it like on that in that way, then things would... Do you think Puff Daddy thinks that the music business is rigged? You think Puff Daddy thinks the music business is rigged? You think Puff Daddy is out here, yeah, that's not fair, these record company executives, look what they're doing to artists? No, because he's the one doing it to the artist. Yeah. So he thinks it's perfect. He thinks it's great. Jay-Z, you think Jay-Z is like, you know what, this isn't fair, what these record companies are doing to artists. You know what? I'm a CEO of Roc Nation, so I'm going to give my artist 50% of my salary because it's not fair that the CEO is making all this money and these artists are struggling. You think Jay-Z's saying that? You think Jay-Z's saying the system's rigged? If there's a march tomorrow where artists are like, we need to fight against record company executives, you think Jay-Z's going to be in the march?
He will not be there.
No!
I can say with absolute certainty that he and Beyonce will not be there.
They're not going to be there because the system works for them. So I don't like when people say the system is rigged. I'd prefer to say let's create our own system or let's get into the system.
Okay.
Because if the system works for you, it's not rigged.
But you just said an interesting point, I guess, before we end. You said that, you know, if the system doesn't work for you, then create your own system or get into the system, though. Mm. But isn't that what some people are saying affirmative action does for them? It allows them to get into the system.
Right. But it's all about the mentality while you're in that system.
So you're saying it's not about saying, well, I got in because of affirmative action, woe is me, but whatever. It's more like, listen, I'm here regardless. If this is what got me in here, then I'm going to make the best of it.
Based on your mission. Mm-hmm. Based on your mission. If I have a son and he got in to Harvard undergrad, and none of his white friends got into Harvard undergrad, I'm going to sit him down. And I'm going to say, you know what? You might have gotten into Harvard undergrad because you're black, right? But guess what? Who freaking cares? It's about damn time, right? They start letting black people in because you're probably not yours, probably not him because he's Caribbean, but your friend, right, Joaquin, his great... Great, well, not even Joaquin, because Joaquin is probably African, but I don't know. Tyler, his great-great-grandfather probably built the bricks on Harvard. Right? So you think...
It's a form of reparations.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a huge reparations guy.
Okay.
So I don't care that you got into this school because you're black. Your mission is to go there, do well, carry that brand so that you can do what you got to do. And if anybody asks you, oh, you're, how'd you get in, right? I would tell my son, your response is, well, my great-great-grandfather built this place. How did you get in? And my great-great-grandfather built this place for free. They didn't even pay him. They made him build this place so that you could enjoy it. How did you get in, sir?
Well, his
what does your great-great-grandfather do?
His mother made a check.
Oh, she wrote a check, right? So who really deserves to be here? Me or you? My great-grandfather literally built the bricks on this building so that you can be here. And they did not pay him to do it. Would your great-grandfather do that? Oh, no, he wouldn't. You know why? Because he wasn't a slave. Mine was a slave. So who, if we want to use the word deserving, who really deserves to be here? Mm. Me or you? And I would have explained that to my son so that he's empowered, right, by his father. I'm empowering you. And of course, since I'm Haitian, I would say, and if anyone has a problem, tell them to talk to your dad. You understand? Bring your dad into the conversation. Bring your mother into the conversation if they want to take it further, because mm-hmm. I'm well equipped and well prepared. More than capable to have an argument about this. And that's what I would tell my son. So if my son came home talking about, dad, they're saying that I got in through some special program, I would remind him, oh, you should be excited. Right? You should be excited.
You should be honored.
You should be honored that they said that. Because now it gives you a platform to explain to them why the hell, right, how the hell this place got built and why you have equity here. I think that's a different position and it's a different argument.
I think it is a different argument. I think now after talking about this for almost an hour, I feel like it's definitely a perspective thing, but it does highlight the fact that, you know what, why do we care so much? Like, after we've talked about this, I'm like, I understand why people feel the way that they do, because it's just like, whoa, wait a minute.
Right.
You guys have been going down affirmative action for all these years, and now you have these rich white people buying their way in.
Right.
But then it's like, when you take a step back, you're like, but this has always been the case, though. This is not a new situation. I think the way the media is like throwing it at us is like, this is like something that's never happened before. Mm-hmm. This is a new scandal. Mm-hmm. You know, we're arresting people right from left. This mm-hmm. is, you know,
black people
something unheard of.
Black people buy my papers. Oops. Did I say that out loud? Black people tune in to my TV station. Oops. Black people tune in so that I can charge advertisers more money, because I can tell them, ooh, look how many black people is tuning in on this drama. Ooh. Whoops.
Yeah.
There's a spike in viewership spiked up over here.
I mean, I read a whole CNN article the other day.
Look at that.
I was like, after a while, I'm done.
And let me guess, there was no advertisements on the side of that.
Well, there were at least five or six.
Look at that.
There were at least five or six.
Yes, my people, let's be smart and think about this, right? How come there was no advertising dollars so that the company could still run? Oops, I said that.
I mean, you said a lot of things. So. I'm sure they'll be coming for you.
I'm just saying. We need to really look and see.
Well, it's true. I think we definitely need to start thinking more critically when these things come up. I guess it's on what side of the coin are you? If you are a black person who's wealthy, and I guess who has the same ability to pay for tuitions like these, you know, white people are, I guess you're not really saying anything about this. This is not a conversation at the table for you. But if you are a black person on the other side of the coin, who is, you know, maybe not even middle class, but a little under the middle class, mm-hmm. this might be because it's rehashing a lot of injustices.
Absolutely.
For you.
Absolutely.
So I guess it really depends on where you are on the spectrum.
Absolutely. And the perspective, like, listen, I understand that, you know, this is what is going on. And it's either I'm going to do something about it, or I'm going to stick to my mission.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Sam, no, I'm not going to be long.
Who are you?
I'm not going to be long. No, I'm actually happy that I'm talking about it at the end, because now people understand why my mentality is the way it is, mm-hmm. right? What my company does, SMB Global Consultants, we help minority and women-owned businesses get certified so that they can participate in this, in procuring funds for you know, so in contracts, so that they can do, they can work whether it's in the city or the state. And the reason why that's important is because, and I want to be clear, this is not an overnight sensation, right? Because I know how our people are. Oh my God, I'm about to do this tomorrow, so I got a government contract. It does not work that way. It takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, but the option and the opportunity is there. I think that this is a great way to supplement your already business, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're a dance instructor, right, you do that on this, that's what you do, and you have clients, right? A great supplement to your income would be to have a contract with a school where they'll pay you $10,000 to teach little kids how to dance. Mm-hmm. So when you have a bad month where you don't have any clients, you know, at the very least, you're getting a check from the school because you're teaching dance to kids in an after-school program, and you have a contract to do that. That's it. That's all we do. And what we're doing is we're helping you get certified so that you can be in that pool to be selected to get that contract.
Okay.
You're not walking into this thing making $10 million. Trust me, I know, because I ain't making no damn $10 million yet. But you can now be in a position to, you know, maybe 10,000 here, 25,000 here, 50,000 here, 100,000 here, in addition to what you're already doing. Mm-hmm. And this is the city, they have to pay. They have the money because your best friend who's paying taxes, they're the ones that paid the city the money. So the city ain't running out of money. Might take hella long to get paid, but you're going to get your money. You're going to get your money. And if you die, they're going to find a family member to get your money. The comptroller's office has this thing where you can still, somebody can get the money. The money's going to be there. So that's the whole point of it. And I think I'm happy that I said that at the end, because if you're putting yourself in a position and your mission is to do well for your family, you and your family, you can leverage these opportunities, right? Because some people even call this program somewhat of a set aside. Yeah, a set aside program. They're setting aside monies for my, oh yeah, whatever. Yeah. If you can participate in the set aside money, ain't nobody mad if someone gives them a $350,000 contract. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody mad, right? Nobody's mad at that. If somebody said to you, Rita, because you're black, I'm going to give you this $350,000 contract that you don't deserve, but we're giving it to you because you're black. You mad?
I'm definitely not mad. I'm certainly not mad.
Oh, and by the way, we've been giving it to white women for the past 35 years. Since you a black woman and, you know, diversity is like the new cool thing now, we're going to give it to you. Do you want it? No, I want to get it on my own merit. No, you're going to be like, where do I sign? So that's how I'm very happy we ended off this way.
Yeah.
That's why my perspective is very different, because I understand that I'm going to relate that affirmative action to the same thing as a set-aside plan. Mm-hmm. And black people got wealthy in this country because of set-aside plans. Mm. My last point, Mayor Jackson from Atlanta, right? Say what you want to say about him, right? You know, he had it. You know, everyone has their you know,
their demons.
But when the Olympic Committee chose Atlanta in 1992, when they chose Atlanta, Mayor Jackson knew that they had to do the airport over. The airport in Atlanta is the largest airport in the country, not because they were bored. It's because they had the Olympics there. And they had planes coming from all over the world for the Olympics. Mayor Jackson was smart enough to say, guess what, guys? Only my black friends are going to get these contracts. Y'all got to build a big-ass airport here, don't you? Mm-hmm. So guess what? I want set-asides on all the contracts here. That is why. I love when people are like, oh, Atlanta's black, this and that. Oh, black excellence. How? How do y'all think that happened? Because one man decided that he's going to change the game and he's not going to let all these strangers come in and take these contracts. So he put black people in position to get these contracts so that black people could be wealthy. That one decision that he made hundreds of black millionaires. So am I mad that Mayor Jackson said, oh, well, I'm going to set aside all these contracts for black people so that Atlanta could be the Mecca. I ain't mad at that.
Well, I guess that goes to your earlier point in that we need to create our own paths. We need to take care of our own. And I think that's the only way we'll really... So while all of this is going on, this scandal, all this other issues with white privilege or whatever it is that's happening in the media, I guess if we had, as you stated earlier, our eye on the prize, the mission, then we would be working toward our goals as opposed to being affected by what's going on in, you know,
right. And America. I'm not saying don't watch TV.
I think it's about letting it affect. Yeah. Because I think we need to know what's going on. Yeah. But I think what's happening is that people are actually truly internalizing it and are getting angry. Absolutely. And are getting like riled up.
Right.
Because of what's going on.
Absolutely.
And they're like mad at Aunt Becky and they're, you know, they're...
They want to burn her house down.
Yeah,
right.
They're upset with Felicity Huffman because those are the two people that are at the forefront.
Absolutely.
But people are genuinely, genuinely upset. And there are so many different like discussion groups going on this topic.
This and that. Oh, crazy people. And then meanwhile, they're not getting their stuff done.
On that note.
JJ agrees with me.
Sam's dog is like, y'all talk too much. Y'all never stop. He's like, listen, it's time for me. It's me time. Yep, yep. As a pet owner, I understand. Chester does the same thing. But with that being said, Sam, thank you so much for gracing us with your presence, your knowledge. The discussion, I think, was real. I think we made a lot of points that people might say, I don't know about that, but they'll at least think about it, right?
Absolutely.
They'll at least think
that's
about
what we
it.
Want. That's what
people
we
don't
do.
Always have to agree with what we have to say, but I
but
think
you want them to think.
It's really about thinking. That's right. Really what it, I feel like a lot of us don't think critically anymore, and we're just so used to whatever's going on in the media and kind of running with it,
right.
And we're not asking the why questions,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Because I was sitting here wondering, why did I want to go there? It's true. It forces us to really think a little more deeply about these issues before we just jump around and say, oh, this is unfair.
Right.
But I think that's the knee-jerk reaction to a lot of black people, like, oh my gosh, this is unfair. Mm-hmm. But they don't really understand, I guess, why it's unfair to them. Mm-hmm. Because some of them probably have no right to say that it's unfair because they're probably part of that privileged,
exactly.
You know, privileged group. But either way, I think this was a great discussion. Tell us one last time, where do we contact you? Because you gave the website a little earlier, but
so,
one more time.
So my LinkedIn has been kind of popping lately.
Gosh.
So y'all can check me out on LinkedIn. Samuel and Pierre LinkedIn. I'm getting more active in terms of blogs and talking about economic empowerment and economic development. But my website is, it's either, I have two websites, www.smpgcs.com. Or www.dobusiness.com. So if you want to do business with New York City, you can go on my website, learn about everything that I talked about in terms of contracts and what you can do to get certified, MWB certified. And then we have like a little contact section where you can, you know, put your information in, click enter, and somebody from the team will get back to you.
All right, cool. Well, there you have it. SMP. Is it Global Connect? I don't know what the phrase is now.
We make doing business with government simple.
Okay.
That's our tag.
All right. I'm so used to the SMP Global Consultants.
SMP Global Consultants. And that's what it is. And that's what we want to do. We want to help ourselves get wealthy, number one. And then we want to help the world. Then we want to help the rest of the world get wealthy as well.
All right, great. Well, thank you again so much for being on the show, and that's a wrap for this week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Thursday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.
WJMSradio.com.
Download the new app.
Live 365. Listen to the show anywhere.
Anywhere, anytime.
Download it now.
Thank you.